mais sur l'occasion.
De quoi nous sortions?
Location. Location.
Welcome to Echolocation, the show that eavesdrops on Mother Nature. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lojudis, and while topics on this show often feature animal sounds, on this episode we're going to focus on some of the astounding sounds of the Earth itself. This is also our fall, so our back-to-school episode, and with that in mind, I'm going to do a report on what I did on my summer vacation, which has a working title of An Audio Geek's Road Trip to Sonorous Stones in the Quaker State.
Thank you.
That was a track called Stone People from the album Singing Stones by Michael Stearns and Ron Sunsinger. This album features electronic compositions made with an unusual instrument, ringing rocks. There are locations around the world where the rocks ring like bells when they're struck with a hammer or another rock. And I was excited to find out that there are ringing rocks not too far from us here in the Hudson Valley. There are natural boulder fields in the Newark Basin of New Jersey and Pennsylvania, just a few hours away. So here's my travelogue of my trip to Upper Black Eddy, Pennsylvania, to experience the ringing rocks for myself. You've heard of rock music, which sometimes leaves your ears ringing, but have you heard of ringing rocks? Well, it turns out there are locations all over the world where the rocks ring like bells when struck. Ringing rocks have been played in Africa, Asia, Europe, Australia, and in North America. And some people assert that the rocks of Stonehenge in the United Kingdom and of Devil's Tower in Wyoming ring, but visitors are not allowed to whack them with hammers, so we may never know for sure. And I was so thrilled when I realized there are ringing rocks in eastern Pennsylvania and New Jersey that I immediately planned a trip, and my three sisters wanted to come along. So we packed up our hammers and headed for Upper Black Eddy, PA, which is not too far from the Delaware River. And there's a boulder field there where the rocks really do ring like bells. So here's a little clip of the soundtrack of most of the trip. And as the laughter implies, we really did have the full Ringing Rock experience, visiting the Ringing Rocks County Park and even spending the night in a tiny deluxe cabin at the Ringing Rocks family campground. And after a restless and anticipatory night's sleep, we arrived on an early August morning at the Ringing Rocks County Park, hoping to avoid the crowds and beat the heat. And after a short walk through a trail in the woods, we came upon a boulder field, which I later learned is also called a Felsenmeer, which is a German word for sea of rock. And this area was completely covered by a jumble of boulders that were haphazardly strewn upon what seemed like many layers of stones below. The Felsenmeer was surrounded by forest, but the rocks in the middle were free of vegetation, even of moss or lichens. So we pulled out our hammers and started hitting rocks. And what we found was really amazing.
Whoa. This I love.
Oh. Oh.
This is a great
rock right here.
Woo! Oh,
God,
listen to
the ring in this one.
I know, it's amazing.
Oh, listen to this one.
We're making music.
Smorgasbord
of sound.
Oh. And after some experimentation, we settled down to making some serious music.
We're making music.
Oh.
we're done playing now.
Jamming with the rocks brought up a lot of questions. Why did some rocks ring while others don't? What were the rocks made of? And what formed the boulder field? Online research brought me to a number of websites which are included in the references for this show, which can be found on the Facebook page and at lizlog.net/echolocation. There's some controversy around why rocks ring, and this mystery is not completely understood. But some of the most extensive online content that I found on the topic of ringing rocks, or sonorous stones if you're feeling fancy, or lithophonic rocks if you're really feeling academic, is an article published in 2020 on the Spooky Geology website, which has a tagline of Earth Mysteries, Weird Locations, Anomalous Phenomena. And also an article entitled Ringing Rocks, A Geological and Musical Marvel, that was published on the Geology Inn website. And I'm just going to share some excerpts from these articles to illuminate us a little bit. By far the most extensive documented and publicized areas of ringing rocks are in eastern Pennsylvania into New Jersey. There's good reason for this. Most of these areas are geologically related, and their history and setting give us a good indication of why they ring while adjacent formations do not. Several of these locations have been quarried, developed, or have grown over, and their special characteristics have been lost forever. But modern researchers have located at least 16 ringing rock sites in Pennsylvania and New Jersey, but only a handful of them are open to the public. The area of ringing rocks in the Newark Basin of Pennsylvania and New Jersey are found as boulder fields or Felsenmeer, German for sea of rock. And these boulder fields look distinct and have spawned folklore regarding their origin. Yet there was not a sudden catastrophe that created the Felsenmeer. They were formed as a result of steady forces breaking down the rock. Geologically, the rock fields were formed when stretching of the Earth's crust allowed magma to travel from the upper mantle and inject into a sedimentary basin. And that happened around 200 million years ago during the Jurassic period. During glacial times, these rock layers were exposed at the surface where they became broken, pitted, and grooved. These boulder fields are all relatively young, geologically speaking, and they were formed within the past tens of thousands of years. Although these Newark series rock sills crop out in a belt throughout the length of the Appalachian Mountains, only a narrow band of outcrops in southeastern Pennsylvania and New Jersey develop into ringing rock boulder fields. The probable reason for this is that the areas were at the southern end of the Pleistocene glaciers and would have been subject to extreme periglacial conditions. And for all you rock geeks out there, many ringing rocks have diabase features. And diabase is a dark gray to black, fine-textured igneous rock that makes up most of the Earth's crust. But some ringing rocks were slate or other metamorphic rock types. And for all of us that don't remember our high school geology, there are three major types of rock. According to USGS, there is igneous, which forms when hot molten rock crystallizes and solidifies, and the melt originates deep within the earth and rises towards the surface. There's metamorphic, and metamorphic rock started out as some other type of rock, but have been substantially changed from their original form because the rocks have been subjected to high heat, high pressure deep within the earth or where tectonic plates meet. And then there's sedimentary rocks, which are formed from pre-existing rocks or pieces of once living organisms, and they form from deposits that accumulate on the earth's surface. So it's been suggested that the ringing is caused by higher than normal metal content of the diabase, but this theory has been disproven as a primary factor in ringing ability. but the slope of the Felsenmeer may influence the rock's ringing ability. And way back in the day, in 1912, a researcher by the name of Wherry noted that these boulder fields were always found at the base of a sheet of igneous rock over the top of a layer of sedimentary rock baked by the original intrusion of hot rock and thus made more resistant to erosion. And a slight dip of the boulder field of about 8 degrees means that any sediment that is formed washes away, leaving a barren field of rubble, additionally jumbled by seasonal ice and runoff. You're listening to Echolocation on WGXC, and that was the song Ringing Rocks from the album Trails, released in 2017 by the New Jersey-based band Annelids. So, getting back to our questions about the ringing rocks, why do they ring when nearby rocks that are composed of the same substances as them do not? Well, first of all, you should know that rocks that ring are known as live rocks, while those that don't are referred to as dead rocks. Just a ringing rocks tidbit for you there. And a definitive answer to why some rocks ring is still elusive, but it seems that the lack of sediment or dirt is one factor. Sediment that would create substrate for plants to take hold is key to muting the ringing, because the rocks in the middle of the boulder field that are exposed to direct sun and all forms of precipitation ring, while those at the margins of the field that are shaded by trees and encroached upon by ferns and weeds and lichen and moss don't ring. Perhaps long ago they once did, when they were bare, and the bare rock in the middle of the field will eventually succumb to greenery and cease its song. So getting a little bit more technical on this, researchers Gibbons and Schlossman reported in the journal Natural History that they discovered that the Upper Black Eddy site exhibited microclimatic differences between open sun and shade that caused differential weathering in the rock field. And those rocks in the open field were exposed to various factors that caused minerals on the surface of the rock to weather into the clay mineral montmorillonite. And this change resulted in an expansion of the thin crust of the rock at the molecular level, which created new internal stresses. It was these stresses that facilitated conditions that caused audible ringing when struck. In contrast, the rocks in the shade released their stresses by exfoliating their outer layers and breaking up like normal rocks. And they did not develop the internal stresses necessary to produce ringing. So I gotta say, I did not know that rocks struggled with internal stresses or that they exfoliated. I guess we can relate to rocks a little bit more, maybe. So several scientists suspect that the density of the rock may play a role also. Internal stresses on the crystal structure of the rock may allow the sound waves to be produced, and some think that the rocks are always making a sound because it's under stress. But it can only be audible to humans if you actually hit it. This relic stress theory implies that the ringing rock boulders act kind of like a guitar string. And when a guitar string is limp, it doesn't resonate. But when plucked, the string will provide a range of sounds depending on the level of the applied tension. And so in this case, the applied tension is whacking the rock with a hammer. So when I got home from my rockin' vacation, I started playing around with the recordings. I arranged the different pitches of individual rocks. I still don't understand why they ring at different pitches. I guess it's related to different levels of internal stress. So if there are any sonorous stones experts out there who can explain this stuff to me, please do be in touch. Then I started looping multiple tracks of rocks, a chorus of sorts. And then I started wondering, who else is out there rocking out with singing stones? And that's how I stumbled upon the music we're listening to on this broadcast. Thank you. You're tuned in to Echolocation on WGXC 90.7 FM, hands-on creative community radio in New York's Upper Hudson Valley. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lowe Judas, and we're exploring ringing rocks on today's broadcast. We just listened to Reimagining Ringing Rocks 1, a track off the album Ringing Rocks Geophonics by Stephen Bradley and Edward Ruchowski, released in January of 2020. So I've been immersed in my new obsession with ringing rocks, and I've been wondering about their cultural history. Who's been playing these boulders besides modern-day audiophiles? I've been wondering. And the Spooky Geology website had an answer to that question, too, so I'm going to share some excerpts from that article again now. Ringing rocks certainly had a role in ritual and popular beliefs of ancient peoples. Lithophones and rock gongs have been used as part of rituals since ancient times. Rocks, boulders, and cave stalactites and stalagmites show evidence of percussive use by ancient humans. Areas where rocks have sonorous properties may have been interpreted as special places of spiritual significance. Some Native American people regarded sites like the Ringing Rock boulder fields as sacred places to perform worship and rituals. But colonialists often interpreted Native American holy sites as intimidating places where demons roamed. For example, ringing rocks were historically noted as places like the Devil's Potato Patch near Sumneytown in Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, and the Devil's Half Acre, now overgrown, in the Sauerland Mountain Preserve in New Jersey. An old story goes that the devil himself walked over the Delaware River in Bridgeton Township, Pennsylvania, where he experienced some personal calamity, sat down, and blighted the land that became the Ringing Rocks Park in Upper Black Eddy. A little earlier in the show, we listened to a cut from an album called Singing Stones by Michael Stearns and Ron Sunsinger, which was released in 1994. And the liner notes of that album talk about how the composers sought to restore the sacred ritual of ringing rocks through their compositions. So here's a little bit from that album's liner notes. Celebrated electronic composer Michael Stearns has long been fascinated with Native American myths involving singing stones. And in the early 1990s, he came across an archaeological paper that proved the existence of singing stones. A number of ringing rocks had been discovered throughout the southwestern part of the U.S., usually at prolific petroglyph sites. And it had taken a while for scientists to understand that these decorated stones actually made musical sounds. But when the granite boulders or rock ledges were finally struck with a smaller stone, they rang out with the clarity of a beautifully crafted chime. And it wasn't hard for the composers to visualize prehistoric Native Americans creating a virtual symphony of tones as they pounded ceremonial images into the rocks. And although only one modern Native American tribe has been found to play the stones as part of their traditional rites, these sites are still considered sacred by the various Native American nations on whose land the sonic formations reside. So Michael Stearns dreamt of making an album involving the legendary stones, and he found an important ally in Ron Sunsinger, who is an adopted grandson of the Cheyenne, Lakota, and Hopi tribes. And Sunsinger is an Albuquerque-based musician and ceremonial artist who was not only able to get permission from tribal elders to record at several singing stone sites, but he lent his own musical talents to the projects and brought some respective Native American singers into the project as well. And the album Singing Stones captures the beauty and mystery of Ringing Rocks, played with a variety of techniques. Sometimes Stearns and Sunsinger struck the stones with elk antler or small rocks, and other times they were slapped with the hand or even rubbed to create more subtle tones. There were, after all, no traditional procedures to guide the musicians. The tribes that originally gathered around to play the stones have long since disappeared, and no one knows what strange and wonderful ceremonies took place at these sites or what kind of music the stones gave birth to in prehistoric times. Stearns and Sunsinger had to use their own seasoned musical imaginations to bring the Ringing Rocks back to life. And often the sounds of the stones themselves seem to direct the course of the composition, as if the earth itself were using modern hands to awaken songs that had been locked in solid granite since the beginning of time. So now we're going to listen to another track from the album Singing Stones, and this one is entitled Honoring Stone Magic. That was the song Honoring Stone Magic off the album Singing Stones from Michael Stearns and Ron Sunsinger. And I must admit that I was a little overwhelmed by the sheer amount of albums made from ringing rocks or singing stones that I found on Bandcamp. But I also found some songs that just seemed to be inspired by the very idea of ringing rocks, even if the stones themselves weren't actually featured in the music. So let's listen to the song The Rocks Are Singing by the Gondwana Jazz Band.
Thank you.
That was the song The Rocks Are Singing by the Gondwana Jazz Band on Echolocation on WGXC. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and we are reaching the end of my What I Did on My Summer Vacation report that focuses on Ringing Rocks. But I can tell you that the experience of exploring these Ringing Rocks in Pennsylvania has inspired me to think of ways that I might spend my summer vacation in 2023. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be exploring the Singing Sands during my summer vacation. And I'm glad to report that there are some nearby Singing Sands, including the Singing Beach at Manchester-by-the-Sea, Massachusetts. And so I am really looking forward to some Singing Sands. In anticipation of that, I'm going to share a song with you called The Singing Sands of Alamosa, performed by Woody Herman and his orchestra in 1942.
Singing sands of Alamosa sang tenderly the night that we found love was ours. Deep in the sands of Alamosa, the angels hid a song amid the dead flowers. But since you said goodbye, there's no music,
just the ghost of a song that used to be.
The singing sands of Alamosa.
Thanks for listening to Echolocation on WGXC. I'm your hostess, Elizabeth Lo Judas, and I hope you enjoyed our virtual visit to the sonic wonder of the Sonorous Stones. You can find videos, links, and references on the Echolocation Facebook page at echolocation/WGXC. Check out more about this show on my website, lizlog.net/echolocation. You can find past broadcasts of the show and subscribe to the podcast at wavefarm.org. And tune in to the winter broadcast of Echolocation on December 29th at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Hudson, Catskill. Here's one more song inspired by the Felsenmere, that sea of stones. The song's called Singing Rocks by the band Piranhas.